Half a century ago, in July 1955, Bertrand Russell and Albert Einstein issued an extraordinary appeal to the people of the world, asking them to set aside the strong feelings they have about many issues and to consider themselves only as members of a biological species which has had a remarkable history and whose disappearance none of us can desire. The choice facing the world is stark and dreadful and inescapable. Shall we put an end to the human race, or shall mankind renounce war? The world has not renounced war, quite the contrary. By now, the world's hegemonic power accords itself the right to wage war at will, under a doctrine of anticipatory self-defense, with unstated bounds. International law, treaties, and rules of world order are sternly imposed on others with much self-righteous posturing, but dismissed as irrelevant for the United States, a long-standing practice driven to new depths by the Reagan and Bush II administrations. Among the most elementary of moral truisms is the principle of universality. We must apply to ourselves the same standards we do to others, if not more stringent ones. It is a remarkable comment on Western intellectual culture that this principle is so often ignored, and, if occasionally mentioned, condemned as outrageous. This is particularly shameful on the part of those who flaunt their Christian piety, and therefore have presumably at least heard of the definition of the hypocrite in the Gospels. Relying solely on elevated rhetoric, commentators urge us to appreciate the sincerity of the professions of moral clarity and idealism by the political leadership. To take just one of innumerable examples, the well-known scholar Philip Zelikow deduces the new centrality of moral principles in the Bush administration from the administration's rhetoric and a single fact, the proposal to increase development aid to a fraction of that provided by other rich countries relative to the size of their economies. The rhetoric is indeed impressive. "I carry this commitment in my soul," the president declared in March 2002, as he created the Millennium Challenge Corporation to boost funding to combat poverty in the developing world. In 2005, the corporation erased the statement from its website after the Bush administration reduced its projected budget by billions of dollars. Its head resigned after failing to get the program moving. Economist Jeffrey Sachs writes, having dispersed almost nothing of the $10 billion originally promised. Meanwhile, Bush rejected a call from Prime Minister Tony Blair to double aid to Africa and expressed willingness to join other industrial countries in cutting unpayable African debt only if aid was correspondingly reduced. Moves that amount to a death sentence for more than 6 million Africans a year who die of preventable and treatable causes, Sachs notes. When Bush's new ambassador, John Bolton, arrived at the United Nations shortly before its 2005 summit, he at once demanded the elimination of all occurrences of the phrase Millennium Development Goals from the document that had been carefully prepared after long negotiations to deal with poverty, sexual discrimination, hunger, primary education, child mortality, maternal health, the environment, and disease. Rhetoric is always uplifting, and we are enjoined to admire the sincerity of those who produce it, even when they act in ways that recall Alexis de Tocqueville's observation that the United States was able to exterminate the Indian race without violating a single great principle of morality in the eyes of the world.